TV.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to MZTV. This is the edge of the bottom of everything, basically. That's how I feel. I'm going to do something different today. I got a comment on Friday's video on an unrelated topic. It was from a nice person, sounds to me like. I don't know who this person is. I've never seen a comment from this person. Goes by at Christopher Alshrui. Christopher Alshrui. And it has to do with free will. Now, as you know, this is a vitally important topic. Free will is an absolute ridiculous concept. It assumes that humans can be independent of God, who is operating in them, to will and to work for the sake of his delight. But here's the challenge. This comes across to me as a decent person. Are you ready for this? And I'm going to do something really different today. This gentleman lists, well, let me read to you his comment, and then I'll tell you what he does afterwards. Then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to do it. All in that order. Good morning, Brother Martin. Now, I hope you're my brother. From reading this, I'm not sure. You'll see why. I am posting this to this latest video so that hopefully you'll see it. Success. I have posted comments to much earlier videos, and I don't know if you see them. I don't remember seeing your name. I apologize for that. I enjoy much of your teaching, though I don't always agree. Well, nobody agrees with everything, with everybody, everything, all the time anyway, so that's okay. For instance, okay, here's an example of what he doesn't agree with. I think your understanding of free will is off the mark. Whoa. Now, I am not an arrogant bastard, but my understanding of free will cannot be off the mark, sir. Cannot. Because human free will is impossible. After being acquainted with the scriptures for over 40 years, researching this topic thoroughly to the point of writing a book about it, I am not wrong about free will. I'm not off the mark. And since you think I'm off the mark, this proves to me that you're off the mark. But that's okay, because we're going to work through this. You and I, in front of everybody. I respect the hell out of you. This was a very respectful post. You got guts coming in here saying that my understanding of free will is off the mark. I appreciate it. I mean, it'd be one thing if you came in saying that my understanding of the indefinite Greek article is off the mark, or your understanding of the concordant translation of pneuma in John 17:3 is off the mark. But to say something like this, that my understanding of free will is off the mark, I mean, this is the most basic of all basics, because it touches upon the sovereignty of God. Let's continue. For instance, I think your understanding of free will is off the mark. In looking at the whole counsel of God, we need to consider the following, which state that God has not decreed all things, inclusively of man's will. And you have scriptures that state God has not decreed all things? Wow, I've never seen a verse that said, God has not decreed all things. You claim here that we need to consider the following, which state that God has not decreed all things. I think what you mean to say is we need to consider the following verses, which makes me think, or the following verses, which appear to me as though they could possibly be suggesting that God has not decreed all things. But I see you've listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 verses here, one of which is not even in the scriptures. Sirach 15:9. Is that a Star Wars book or something? I don't know what that is. You have Jeremiah, 1 John, Acts, Matthew, John, Ezekiel, Lamentations, 2 Peter, 1 Timothy, 2 Kings. We got 10 verses here. And according to you, they all state, we need to consider the following, which state. Now, I'm not aware of one verse which states God has not decreed all things. That verse would have to say, God has not decreed all things. And you say we have 10 of those? I don't know how I could have possibly missed them. And then inclusively of man's will. What do you mean by this? You're including man's will is not decreed, right? Okay, so man is free. Now, here's the trick, folks. Here's the fun part of this video. I have not looked at any one of these verses. I'm going to do this completely live. I have not rehearsed this. I have not looked at these ahead of time and thought of my answer ahead of time. I have not gone on an 8-mile run mulling these things over, in which case I would be boom, 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 able to shoot these verses down, because I will be shooting these verses down. I already know that. I already know I'm going to be shooting. I already know that none of these verses say that God has not decreed all things. And only a misunderstanding of these verses could cause a person to think that God has not decreed all things. Because if God has not decreed all things, he is not God. He is ignorant. He is stupid. He does not know everything. There is a verse, namely 1 John 3:20, and if I could be permitted to read that just ahead of time here, 1 John 3:20, God knows all. God knows all. If he knows everything, then he has decreed everything. There's no way it could be any other way. If God has not decreed something, then when it happens, it takes him by surprise. He has to go, whoa, shit. Have you seen my imitation of the God you're suggesting? He talks like this. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have given humanity a free will. I once had the only free will in the universe. Oh, those were the days. Oh, now I have to wait and see what everybody's going to do. Of course, I have not decreed everything. That would mean that I'm a planner. That would mean I think of things ahead of time. I don't. I take things as they come. In fact, I'm a lot like you. That's the idiotic God. That's the God who would have to be as idiotic as us. And he's not decreed everything. I mean, I haven't even looked at these verses yet, but I mean, I have scriptures. 1 John 3:20, God knows everything. That destroys your whole position. And I haven't even looked at your verses yet. I know. Say, Martin, you haven't even looked at my verses yet. I'm really trying to be nice. But it's just shocking. I mean, having been so familiar with a God of greatness and glory. And here's another verse that destroys your supposition here is Isaiah 46:10. God tells the end from the beginning, every single detail. He tells the end from the beginning, everything. Ephesians 1:11, God operates all in accord with the counsel of his will. God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. If he's doing that, then there's no way he could not have decreed something. Because again, isn't that the way you put it, Christopher? Again, I'm trying to be as nice as possible. You got the balls of an elephant to come here and say that I got free will wrong. By the way, I don't have an understanding of free will. I mean, I have a scriptural truth that free will is the greatest lie Satan has ever dished up, besides eternal torment. The God you're suggesting, I am not acquainted with. The God I know has planned all things from the beginning, and it is a God who knows everything and therefore is not operating a crapshoot here, is not hoping that humanity will fulfill his intention, is not surprised by anything that happens in his universe. And any verse suggesting, I have a feeling that I'm going to go to these verses and you're going to show me places where God is coming across as a human being, and you're going to think that this is the actual deity instead of a figure of speech known as anthropomorphia. I am just guessing that. And I think it's interesting that of the 10 verses you're putting out here, only one of them is from Paul. Paul is Mr. Absolute. Paul, you will find the truth. But 1 John also, 3:20, God knows everything. But Paul states For instance, when he was on Mars Hill, God gives to all life and breath and all. If he gives to all, then everything everybody does is being given to them by God. Therefore, God has decreed it. Only if God has not given anyone anything could there be anything that has not been decreed by God. And you are telling us that God has not decreed all things. See, I just get the creeps. I get the willies. And it angers me. I'm not angry at you, Christopher. I don't even know you. You seem like a nice guy. I'm really, my spirit is incited within me that anyone could think that God has not decreed all, because that wouldn't be God. That would be a glorified human being. And that God leaves his creation up to chance, and that God is sitting around hoping everything will work out. How can God fulfill his aeonian intention if no one is subject to him? Okay, I'm going to try to calm down. Take a deep breath. It won't help to take a sip of Red Bull, will it? That'd be the opposite, right? I don't care. Darn it, it's already gone. Okay. Again, I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad you're watching the show. I've done over 100 shows on Free Will. Watch my greatest hits. I have a whole subfolder of YouTube videos just on this topic of free will. And I wrote a book on it called The Really Bad Thing About Free Will. And it is my hope and prayer that by the end of this video, you, Christopher, will be thanking me for straightening you out on this topic. Because I can see where you could go. I can see where people can go off when God comes across like he doesn't know what's going on. Oh, Adam, where are you? Adam, I'm tired of playing hide and seek. Where are you? I'm going to count to 10. And if you don't show up by the time I count to 10, there will be no dinner for you or that crazy wife of yours. All right. Are we ready to roll? Oh, and by the way, I said at the beginning, and I'm sorry about this. First, this is terrible. You wish me good morning. It's just like, I really feel kind of mean, but I'm not. I have the best intentions. I love you. I don't even know you, but I love you. And you got elephant balls for writing me and saying that I, Martin Zander, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, have free will wrong. One of the biggest possible fuck-ups anyone could possibly be engaged in. And it's not that I'm too proud. It's not that I'm not capable of making a mistake. It's just that by the grace of God, I'm not capable in making this big of a mistake. This is one of the biggest mistakes you could ever make. In fact, Christopher, it is so big that if you believe that including man's will, God has not decreed all things, then you can't be a believer, because a believer in Paul's gospel and in the circumcision gospel requires one to believe that salvation is out of one's hands. Because if it is in your hands, if salvation is in your hands, then you save yourself by your own will. If I'm off on free will, then man is saved by free will. I don't know if you're going that far yet. I'm going to look at your verses here. If I ever get to it, if I ever get through this preamble, it was like the preamble of the Constitution. This is a Constitution, the sovereignty of God, the decree of God. Even a freaking heathen king called Nebuchadnezzar had this shit figured out. God is operating, God is doing his will among the inhabitants of the earth, Daniel 4:35. God is working his will among the inhabitants of the earth. That would require him to be decreeing everything. If God is giving all life and breath and all, Acts 17:25, he would have to be decreeing everything. If God knows everything, 1 John 3:20, he would have to be decreeing everything. If God knows, tells the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10, he would have to be decreeing everything. Yet you say, God has not decreed all things. God has not decreed all things. I don't know what God you're talking about. This is not my God. And I have the creeps. I have the creeps remembering a time when I thought I was in charge of my own life. When I thought that God was sitting around hoping things were going to work for the best, but couldn't bring them to a successful conclusion because, oh, why did I give everybody their own free will? That was the biggest mistake I ever made. I gave it away, now I can't get it back because they have free will. They don't want to give it back to me. Your God would be a glorified man. But he would be an idiot also in that he would have the audacity to call himself God. Placer. The placer, that's what God means. Placer. Subjector. The subjector has not decreed everything. Oh, I need a drug. Okay, I need a drug to calm me down. It's not Red Bull. I don't think that. I think that's working against me right now. Okay, let's go to the first verse, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just shocked. I'm sorry. You know, I'm just shocked that anybody within 150 miles of this audience believes in human free will. It's shocking. I'm responding spontaneously, unrehearsed. This is raw Zender. And good morning to you, my friend. And I hope you're my brother. If you believe in free will, you're not my brother now because Paul's gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5, Christ died for our sins. It's Christ's death that saved us from our sins, not our belief in Christ that we exercised in a vacuum. If I'm wrong about free will, see, I'm starting to talk like the Christian God. If I'm wrong about free will, if I'm wrong about free will, and humans have free will, salvation then is up to humans. And yet the psalmist says, namely David, salvation from a human is futile. I'll put that reference here. It's not coming to me. What a big verse that is. Salvation from a human is futile. But from what I'm hearing from you, you think that salvation from a human is necessary. Salvation from a human is vital. Salvation from a human is required. Okay. Jeremiah 7:31. I don't know what this says. I'm going to go to the Concordant version. I have a feeling this has something to do with anthropomorphia, that is the figure of speech of God coming across as a human being, which has tricked you. And I understand many people have tripped over this. I'm just thinking that that's where we're going to go. And I have a feeling you're going to have a lot of these verses, like in Genesis, where God says, "Adam, where are you?" As though that proves that God literally doesn't know, but it's a figure of speech. Anyway, I can do this. 7:31. They have built the high place of Topheth, which is in the ravine of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and daughters in fire, such as I did not instruct, nor did it ever come upon my heart. I have a feeling, Christopher, that you are reading from the King James Version. And in the King James Version, I can't even say it because it upsets me so much. One of the first things you have to do, Christopher, and I'm glad you're here, and I swear I want you to benefit from that. If you're still watching, you got bigger balls than I even give you credit for. I've said you have elephant balls. I got to come up with something bigger than that. You got like the balls of a Volkswagen or something. I mean, the Volkswagens, just the size of Volkswagens. Let's go to King James Version, Jeremiah 7:31. Live Bible study. Jeremiah 7:31, KJV, return. And they built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. This is the valley of Hinnom, Gehenna in the Greek. To burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. What, they have the heart to do? What are you reading? I thought for sure the King James was going to say it never came into my mind. It never came into his heart. It never came into his heart. Which version does it say? Maybe you're reading from the NASB. I'm shocked here. I hope you're not reading from the Message. Let's go to the New American Standard Bible, Jeremiah 7:31. Okay, now we're talking. Are you an NASB man, Christopher? I got to sell you on the Concordant Version. You can go online and read the Concordant Version of the Old Testament for free. But the one thing you cannot do is base such an outrageous belief that God has not decreed everything, that humans have free will, on a bad translation. Here's the NASB. Maybe you're using this. And Jeremiah 7:31. They have built the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I did not command, and it did not come into my mind. Into my mind. And so that would make you think, I understand this. I'm in your camp for a second. Don't get excited, though. I can understand. If it never came into God's mind. The scripture says it never came into his mind. So God didn't even think of it. So he was like, what? They did what? They built what? Where? They're doing burning. They're roasting hot dogs, right? No. What are they roasting? Their children. Oh, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. That never did enter into my mind. My mind is very large. This is incredible. No, it never entered into his heart. Okay. The proper translation, even, look, I'm looking at the NASB and they have a footnote thing here in front of the word mind. And I look at the bottom and it says heart, literally heart. Why the hell didn't they put heart in the translation? Because that's correct. It never entered his heart. He was never soft on it. He decreed it because it was necessary for them to do this. God is sovereign. Again, even Nebuchadnezzar said, Daniel 4:35, he does his will among the inhabitants of the earth. This was his will. He decreed that they do this. God gave Israel spirit of stupor. Romans 9, God creates vessels of dishonor. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. God knows everything. So, of course, he decreed for them. They have built the high, he decreed that they build the high places of Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He decreed that they burn their sons and daughters. He decreed it. It was in his intention. It was his intention. He didn't tell them to do it. And it didn't enter his heart. He wasn't in love with it. But he did it because it was necessary. Some things God doesn't delight in, but he does it anyway because he's God. You see, you can't lose. You have to have this Almighty God first. And then you look underneath that and see the things he does. But unless you have Almighty God on the throne, you're lost. And you're going to go off. You're going to go astray. Once you get this in your mind, you're going to agree with me on everything. It's going to be great. Life's going to be great for you when you agree with me on everything. People who agree with me on everything, their lives are fantastic. I want you to be included in that. And it's just that I believe scripture. It's not that I'm a genius or I'm asking you to believe me. What am I doing? I'm going to scripture. What am I showing you? A bad translation versus a good translation. Maybe you're looking at the NIV on this verse. Let's look at the NIV, the New Inconsistent Version. They say this for Jeremiah 7:31. OMG. Okay, you could be an NIV. Are you an NIV guy, Christopher? This is a bad habit. I would rather you smoke cigarettes than to read the NIV. I call it the New Inconsistent Version, and I have called it that consistently since 1999, I first called it the NIV, the New Inconsistent Version, on the air when I was broadcasting a radio show in Cleveland, Ohio, called Grace Cafe Live Radio. And back then, I was teaching the sovereignty of God on the air live to a potential audience of 1 million people. Unless God decrees everything, Christopher, he is not God. What you're going to have by the time I'm done with you, my friend, and you are my friend, by the time I'm done with you, you're going to have God on the throne where he belongs. And you're going to understand where these other verses fit. And I'm only getting to the first one. People are worried now. It's Martin. Oh my God, is Martin going to do 10 shows? The guy's got 10. Christopher's got 10 verses. Sender's already not even got through the first verse, Harold. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's going to take me 10 days to sort this out. I don't know. I'll do it if I have to. And everybody's watching loves this topic. Everybody loves this topic. And they love you, Christopher. And I love you. And God loves you. You got some. Oh, my God. You got, that's the best I felt all day. I admire the hell out of you, man. Amazing. Anyway, Jeremiah 7, verse 31, NIV. They have built the high places of Topheth in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, something I did not command, nor did it enter my mind. And no freaking footnote. At least the NASB had the decency to put a footnote and say, this wasn't really the word. We wanted to put mine. We didn't like heart. We're Christians, so we would rather believe that God never even thought of this. It took God completely by surprise. It did what? And so, but, so that we can sleep at night, we at least have to put a footnote, the NASB guys, and say, okay, the real translation's heart here. We don't like that because we'd rather believe that God was taken by surprise. Christopher, your God is taken by surprise. The God who has not decreed everything is taken by surprise. Any God who is taken by surprise is not worthy of the name God. Have I mentioned that the name God means subjector, one who subjects? Yes, I did. Yeah, they're telling me that I have mentioned that earlier in the show. And now I'm going to go back to Jeremiah 7:31, the Concordant Version. They have built a high place of Topheth, which is in the ravine of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in fire, such as I did not instruct. He did not instruct it. That's true. And it did not come upon my heart, but as sure as hell came upon his mind. There's nothing that hasn't come upon the mind of God. Nothing that happens has not come upon his mind. Now, Christopher, I'm a little disappointed in you, my friend. Because you told me, in looking at the whole counsel of God, we need to consider the following, which state that God has not decreed all things. You disappointed me there because that verse did not state. That verse did not state that God has not decreed all things. A verse stating that God has not decreed all things would have to say, God has not decreed all things. You do not have a verse like that. I know you don't. I've read the Bible several times. It's not there. And yet I have several verses that prove God has decreed all things. And if they practically say that, God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11, it practically says that, doesn't it? And I just noticed that you have two references in Jeremiah. Now we're up to 11 verses. You have two references in Ezekiel. Now we're up to 13 verses. You have two references in Matthew. Now we're up to 15 verses. Oh my God, Harold, you just added 5 more days to this freaking study on human free will. I don't think I'm going to spend that much time on it because I think we'll be able to lump these in certain categories and specific categories. Here's the categories that are mistranslated. Here's the categories that show God coming across as a human, though he is not absolutely a man, and he states he is not a man. And here are verses where there's confusion between the absolute and the relative perspective. I suspect, Christopher, that your verses here fall into one of those three categories, either a failure to respect the absolute and the relative perspectives, for perhaps you've not even heard of that, or a translation issue and the possibility that you're looking at a verse where God employs anthropomorphia, that is, where he comes across as a man, which he absolutely is not. And so thank you for writing. I hope I haven't driven you away. By the end of this, you are going to know God as never before.